and welcome to the 8th episode of the Clone Cast. I'm your host, Nick Weymouth, and with me is the post-pubescent...
What? Why would you say that about me?
That means that you've gone through puberty.
That's still kind of... That's dirty, man.
Okay, well then, I'll start over.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the 8th episode of the Clone Cast. I am your host, Nick Weymouth. And with me, as always, is...
Josh Owl.
Yes.
He's apparently post-pubescent.
Well, now they all know.
Now they all know that you're over the age of, like, 15.
That's right.
Contrary to popular belief.
That's right. That baby boy has got a deep voice. When he hits puberty, he's going to be like...
Excuse me. I am looking for a bathroom. When it's time to change, I would like a quarter pounder with cheese.
Would you like fries with that, sir?
No, but I would like an ice cold Coca-Cola.
Okay. Hello, and welcome.
Oh, you're doing it again?
No, I have to. If you want people to know, you're post-pubescent, I'm okay.
You're the one who brought it up.
All right, well then, who are you, post-pubescent man?
You already told them.
Oh, that's right. They already knew anyway.
Yeah, they I told them.
Yeah, and you told them. So this is our 8th episode, which deals with Clone Wars Season 2, Episode 16, entitled Cat...
And Moses.
Instead of Moose and Squirtle, it is Cat
and Moses.
Yes. Not Moses. He's not saying Moses.
Cat and Moses.
Cat and Moses. You know, you are Joshua, and Joshua was Moses' apprentice. And that's if you true. Were a cat, then it would, you know.
Yeah, it'd be the cat and the Moses.
Let my people go. So, we are glad to have you with us. As we continue our examination of the Clone Wars. But before we do that, it's time for this week's installment of...
Fancy Pants Green Jacket Number 10.
Fancy Pants Green Jacket Number 10.
Number 10.
Number 10.
Number 10.
All right, so today is a pretty big day.
Today's a very special day.
Today's a very special episode of Fancy Pants Green Jacket Number 10. Okay, so it cuts on, and the characters are looking at a giant explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be in some sort of a force field, and they say something. I forgot exactly what it was.
Yeah.
That they said something like, if he comes back, we'll be ready for him.
Well, the DVD, excuse me, the DVD that, or not DVD, the DVR, when you recorded it, recorded only a couple of seconds of it, and it recorded a lot less than it normally does.
Yeah, and I think it was because they ended the show early for that big promo that came afterwards.
Yeah.
So, we only got like a few seconds. And so these few seconds, they say a few things while there's this giant explosion, and fade to black. And if you look very closely, in the bottom right corner, before it fades to black, it said, series finale. And then the promo, which we were considering ourselves allowed to have watched, because we did.
Yeah.
Says that Milkax has been destroyed. So apparently Milkax was the bad guy.
Yeah.
He was the main bad guy. And I'm guessing when they said that, they showed a picture of the squid guy, the Davy Jones guy. Uh-huh. So I'm guessing that that was Milkax.
It must have been.
I would not have expected Davy Jones squid guy to be named Milkax.
No, I figured his name would be Davy Jones.
Yeah, or Squidward or something. Or, you know.
Squid Billy.
That's another show that they have. It's probably weird because most shows on
Squidbillies is weird. It's funny, though.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I don't know. Man at Arms? No. Remember last week when we talked a lot about...
We did talk a lot about it. You, yeah, man.
That's right. But I didn't expect him to be Milkax. I expected Milkax to be like a robot, you know, with a giant axe or something. But anyway, so the announcer says, Milkax has been destroyed. And so the universe is saved. And Ben 10, he's a hero. And they say, but don't worry, you know, something like, You know, don't worry, because danger may always rear up again. Not rear up again. Flare up again or something. And so, you know, Ben will always be ready. And we're sitting there watching this, and I'd already seen it once. And Josh is watching it, and he's starting to freak out, because you're like,
yeah, well, what are we going to do?
Shows it. If Ben 10 Air Force is over, what do we do? we don't have our new opening thing for the doing the show. So what did we do? Well, it didn't worry. It didn't matter, because the announcer, I don't know if it was Peter Cullen or not. I can't remember.
I don't think it was.
Yeah, said that, but don't worry, because, you know, evil might still be out there, and Ben 10 will be ready for it. And premiering the new series, premiering in like 3 weeks, Ben 10,
Ultimate Alien.
But he wasn't there. Or no, he was there for that. He wasn't Bounty Hunter last night.
Right.
But so, yes, Ben 10.
Ultimate Alien.
Sorry. I didn't know I was going to do it.
Well,
again.
See, it messed it up because I'm used to saying Alien Force.
Yeah.
But now I got to say Ultimate Alien.
That's right. It's
weird.
I'm just so used to saying one phrase in that voice. So we will, once the show resumes, mm-hmm. We will continue Fancy Pat's Green Jacket number 10.
Ultimate Edition.
Are we going to have to put that like at the end?
Yeah.
Ultimate Edition. That's what we'll do. Is if it was an elite edition, it would have to be painted black.
That's true.
You'd have to paint it.
Painted black.
Black as day. Black as day?
Yes.
I don't know. So what did we learn on this episode?
Not a whole lot.
Except that the show's over.
Yeah.
But there's a new one coming out. And it's the same thing. It's kind of like Transformers, how there was Transformers Armada.
We don't talk about that.
Transformers Energon. And then Transformers Cybertron. And it was basically the same character, same universe, but it was a new series.
Same character, same universe, all crap.
Yeah, in the case of the Transformers, that whole thing definitely was.
Well, that's a very Japanese thing to do.
Yes.
That's what they do a lot. They run a season of something, and they call it a series, and then that'll get done. That like whole arc will get done.
Yeah.
And then they'll start up another series.
Yeah,
for
as
them.
They call it, yeah. Yeah,
and then it's completely just basically just a new story arc.
Yeah. And I want to say that Ben 10 Alien Force was not the first incarnation of Ben 10. Like, I want to say there was something Ben 10 previous before Alien Force.
Yeah.
So it's now we've got Ultimate.
It may have
Alien.
Been Ben 10 Boy Genius.
That's right. Ben 10 wore tennis shoes.
Starring Kurt Russell.
That's right. This car's 100% death proof. So, I don't know what the show will be about. Apparently, Ben will be there.
Yeah.
Now, will Kevin Eleven be there?
I don't know.
And what about Penny?
Yeah, Penny.
Yes. Stay tuned in the few coming weeks for our first installment of...
Ultimate Edition. Yeah.
All right. But in the meantime, it's time to actually talk about Clone Wars.
Oh.
Now, why do you say all? Well, that segues right into what we're going to do first, which is kind of give our general impressions of the episode, and then we'll kind of get into the details. But we're not going to get as detailed as we usually get. And why is that? Well, to answer that, we will deal with our overall impressions. Josh, what was your overall impression of this episode?
Well, like I was telling you before, I just don't like the whole jumping around thing. Like in...
You know, when people are dancing and they're...
Yeah, I don't like them jumping around.
Ouch, 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 ouch. Stop it. Y'all gonna make Josh mad.
I don't like parkour.
That's right.
But,
I like parquet, though.
Yeah.
Parquet. Parkour.
But, yeah, I just don't... Like... I think that this episode, since it takes place, you know, basically the first thing Clone Wars related.
Right, and that's something, I guess, just in case people don't know, the official site has officially explicitly said this takes place before Hidden Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the very first episode chronologically in the 3D show.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's not before the first part of the 2D show, but it's the first thing in all of this 3D stuff. So,
yeah. So I just don't dig on that, because it's just it makes it a little harder to keep up with, and it's like it's almost like, you know, they have this, you know, continuing thing going on, and things are, you know, ramping up and getting better and better, right, and better. And then all of a sudden, you know, huge back.
Yeah, suddenly we're like months or something back, you know, in the timeline.
And another thing I was thinking about is like, you know, how's that going to be for watching like all the episodes on DVD?
Yeah.
It's like, because, you know, usually when, you know, when I watch something on DVD, of, you know, a television show or something, I want everything to be chronological.
Right.
Well, you know, first season's already out.
Yeah.
This, you know, episode, you know, supposedly takes place before the first season.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. And the other day, actually, as a matter of fact, in my office, I just decided to kind of watch some of the stuff and watch it in chronological order, basically have it on the background while I was doing the other work. So I watched episode two, then mm-hmm. I put in the first season of the micro series, then I put in the second season of the micro series and watched through Anakin becoming a Jedi Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Then I watched Hidden Enemy, then I started to watch the film.
Right.
Well, now I would actually have had to do first series, or, you know, first season, second season, up through Anakin becoming Knight,
yeah,
Captain Moses, yes, and then Hidden Enemy, and then, yeah, then the film.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, and what we're about to get into with this episode, like, this episode almost seemed kind of pointless, just because, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot going on. It's not like we really needed this story.
It's not anything earthquaking, is kind of what, yeah, you're saying?
In other words, it wasn't really earthquaking enough to actually go back and tell it.
Yeah, why did we have to jump time,
exactly,
to go back to do this?
Yeah.
Like, if it had been done, if this had been like the premiere episode of the show,
yeah, it would have been something.
Yeah. But now to kind of go back, it's like, it's not that it's bad what you're saying. What you're, yeah, saying is it's just not good enough to have warranted going back and telling this story.
Right, right.
Now maybe,
not like there was any huge big reveal.
Yeah. Now maybe they're going to try to do something with the ship, you know, or something, mm-hmm, like that. And maybe, you know, this time next year we'll say, oh, we know why they did that. But, mm-hmm, but yeah. Now you and I see things a little bit differently on this. We, mm-hmm, don't usually see things differently, at least when it comes to Clone Wars. But I agree that it was not an earth-shaking episode, but the jumping back and forth doesn't bother me as much.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm told explicitly that we've jumped back. You know, there's some episodes in the first season that also may have been before,
yeah,
the film. Like, for example, the Trespass, the one on Pantora.
Mm.
You know, Ahsoka's not there, Ahsoka's not mentioned. Some people thought, well, maybe this takes place kind of like before the rest of it. And I guess it still could, because then that would be first, and then now we would have Cat and Mouse, then Hidden Enemy, then the, mm, film. Because there are several episodes in the first season without Ahsoka, mm, and so whenever Ahsoka's not around and not mentioned, it's like, well, is that because they're just not mentioning her, or, yeah, is it because that is a subtle way for them to tell us this is before Ahsoka shows up?
Yeah.
You know, originally, the first part of the film, mm-hmm, where Ahsoka is introduced, was not going to be the first episode of the show.
Right.
Like, the show was going to begin with Ahsoka already being around, and the audience kind of being like, who is this? And then that episode was going to be someone in the middle of the season and jump back and tell that story.
Oh, okay.
So I guess George just kind of wants to do that. And I can understand the idea that by not sticking to a strict, this episode was aired after this other one, so it must take place afterwards, it gives him the freedom to jump around. If he wants to tell a story, you know, a few months earlier so that he can plant a seed for something that would happen later, or if he just thinks, hey, this would be a cool story to tell, but I want to tell it back then, you know, he's got that option. And, you know, if this show ends up lasting 6 or 7 seasons or something, I mean, wouldn't that be great? But, mm-hmm, the Clone Wars only lasted 3 years.
Right.
So, you know, they could get to a point, if they were going in strict chronological order this whole time, where it's like they'd start to bump up on, okay, even if it's 4 seasons, saying that not each season takes place over a year, still, eventually you get to where, okay, we need to start having episode 3, and then, okay, well, now we're going to go back in the past. It would have seemed a little bit more, yeah, jarring. So setting it up, that freedom to jump back and forth now, you know, I can sort of see the advantage to that.
Yeah.
But going back to what I was saying, as long as I'm told explicitly, this is a jump back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when we saw the previews for this episode and they're on Christophsis, it's like, well, are they going back to Christophsis, or is this, you know, the beginning of the Christophsis thing? And so when the official episode told us, yes, this is a prequel to Hidden Enemy, you know, this episode was a prequel to an episode that was a prequel to the movie, which was a prequel to some of the prequels, but a sequel to some of the prequels. And the prequels, of course, being prequels to the original trilogy. You know, oh, no, I've gone cross-eyed. But at least the official the site told us that.
Right.
So I'm a little different from you in that respect. I don't mind the jumping. Just tell me that we're jumping. Because, well, it's like, for example, you know, we talked in the episode The Deserter about Cut Laquane, and you know, we both agreed it'd be cool for them to do an episode, a flashback episode, showing how Cut Laquane ended up where he was. But so even that, you know, you'd be cool with, even though it's a jump back. But but
well, at the same time, it's like I would be cool with that as long as, like you say, that like we say know. It was a present time
like
episode.
A frame story, yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, let me tell you how I did this and I was a deserter and all this, and then it goes back.
Okay, Daddy, tell us. And then we fade. I can sort of see that. But I do see your point on why go back in time, as it were, to do this episode when there doesn't seem to be anything earth shattering. And something you and I were talking about earlier is that, you know, you said if this had been the first episode or something like that, that would have been different. And then I'd said, and kind of along those same lines, if this episode was put with The Hidden Enemy and then was put with the film and sort of combined in this one big, large film, then the, granted, maybe the first part would seem kind of a little bit random, but it kind of fits in that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, think about this episode. We don't know until the end, but the episode is kind of functioning as an introduction to Admiral Yularen. Because towards the end of the episode, Yularen says, I'm surprised by your sort of bold tactics. Anakin says, you'll learn that I do things differently. And then Yularen says that he's learning that, and that Palpatine had told him as such, but Palpatine meant it as a compliment. And so it's like, oh, Yularen and Anakin have just started working together. So we figured that out at the end of the episode. But that makes this episode sort of function as an introduction to Admiral Yularen. Well, then The Hidden Enemy, along with being in a story of intrigue and helping us to understand clones in general and that they're not robots, that they can choose to break the rules and do things like be traitors, it also serves as an introduction to Rex and Cody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this first cat and mouse introduces Yularen. We already know Anakin and Obi-Wan. So this introduces Yularen, who's around a lot. The next episode introduces Cody and Rex, who are around a lot, as well as kind of reintroduces us to Ventress. Then the film begins with our introduction to Ahsoka and then sort of the vibe of the show in general. So I could see introduction, but just watching it by itself, it's got some neat moments. The Hunt for Red October, you know, Crimson Tide vibe is kind of cool, but it would be stronger put in its proper context chronologically, because then it would start to serve more as an introduction. Although, I got to admit, I really still feel like, in some ways, I know this may seem random, but when I was watching the Things in Order the other day, I forgot to mention that after Anakin Becomes a Knight, I think the first episode I actually watched was the Hidden Trespass, the one on Pantora. And to me, that really works as a good introductory episode. I don't know why, because the Jedi don't even use their lightsabers in that one, but it just felt like a good way to begin.
Yeah.
But so, nothing earth-shaking. It's not like, oh, we hate it. We just...
Yeah, just...
You know, well-written, you know, well-acted, good animation.
And I was kind of disappointed that, you know, we had kind of a, you know, at least in mine and your opinion, I believe... Like, we had a kind of a lackluster episode last week.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get kind of a lackluster episode this week.
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, it's kind of that whole thing, especially after coming off the three Mandalorian episodes.
And even though you haven't seen him yet, I think the Geonosis stuff was is really good, too. So this was kind of like the little lull. Obviously, I think Senate murders being the low point.
Yeah.
And this kind of coming up, but just being, I think you said it best, a good story, but maybe not a good enough story to warrant going back and telling.
Yeah.
Again, but maybe George has some idea or Dave has some idea that we don't know about. But it's given some of the great things we've had in this season, good, but not...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a terrible episode by any stretch. It just, wasn't a whole lot to it.
Yeah. But so what we're going to do with this episode is kind of not go into as much detail as we usually do. We like going into detail, but in this episode, the plot itself is pretty straightforward. In fact, you want me to give you a quick summary of it?
Mm-hmm.
Here it goes. Okay, so we're here in Christophsis. They're the separatists have surrounded the planet, and there's Anakin, and he's in the ship, and he talks to Bail Organa on the planet. Bail Organa does not sound like a Jamaican this time, and he says, oh, we're in trouble, we're trying to do this good stuff, but we don't have any supplies, and the droid's about to kill us. So Anakin says, all right, let's put the pedal to the metal, we're going to just go right through this here blockade, and then Obi-Wan shows up and says, Anakin, you need to stop doing that, because I've got this new toy. Anakin says, well, I'm not sure about all this, but I'll go ahead and give it a shot. So he goes back. Obi-Wan says, look, here, I got this new thing. Anakin says, I can't see it, push the button goes, and boom, suddenly there's a ship, and it's cloak ship. Ooh, and it's neat. And Anakin's like, oh, this is great. So we can get in the ship, and we can turn the cloaking device on. We can go, and we can kill these Sepis real quick, like, and everything's great. And Obi-Wan says, nope, can't do that. You got to go down to the planet and deliver supplies. Anakin says, I don't want to go down and deliver supplies. Obi-Wan says, I don't care. I'm the boss. You're going to go down there, deliver supplies. I'm the boss. So Yularen is looking at the thingy, and he says, that symbol looks familiar. Hey, wait a minute. I see that drawing of that guy that I know that was an evil and really good commander, and I've dealt with him before. So, hey, Anakin, you can't go. And Anakin says, well, you know, I got to go. And then Yularen says, yeah, but it's kind of dangerous, and he'll mess with us, and we'll be in trouble. And Anakin says, well, that's okay, though, because we're not going to be messing with him. We're going down to the planet. And then Yularen says, I don't think we're going to have any chance. He's going to attack us. And Anakin says, you keep seeing us. And he says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be a consultant. They say, okay. So they get out the ship, turn the cloaking device on, go around there, shoot some missiles. The spider guy's like, oh, missiles, I got my crimson flare shield, and not crimson flare shield, my crimson shield. No, what was it called?
Force field.
Yeah, force field.
Crimson force field.
My crimson force field. And he's
that's like, number one.
That's number one.
That makes number two.
That's number two. It's a fire thing. Crimson force field. Everything's fine. Okay, so then he's like, I guess we should fire some more missiles. Those don't work. So he fires missiles back at them, and then they turn the missiles around, and then hits the thing, and the thing blows up, and then turns out Anakin was right, and everything's fine.
Yep.
That's the episode.
That's it.
You know, it's not bad, but it's a pretty basic plot. So we're not going to go into as much detail. We're going to hit sort of the things that really jumped out at us. Because at this point, we've already seen Bounty Hunter.
Right.
Bounty Hunters.
Yeah, yeah.
We watched that last night. That premiered last night. So
awesome.
Yeah, so we're kind of chomping at the bit to get to that one. So we're going to kind of go quickly. The fortune cookie for the week is a wise leader knows when to follow. Josh, was the cookie talking?
Yeah, sure.
if you wanted to talk to me, Nick, that's okay.
Yeah, well, that's another one that's kind of self-explanatory. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I remember, I'll just give a quick little anecdote. I remember, I guess it was when I was taking some of the film classes at the University of Alabama, where I went to get my undergrad degree, and maybe it was a class on script writing or something. I don't know. Anyway, I remember one of the things that was talked about with directing, I think this was talked about, I don't know. At some point in my life, I got this idea.
Rumble in my life, I went to a film class, and then they said this.
And then I thought of this other thing. But like that, you know, a good director, for example, takes the good ideas that people have.
Mm.
So like, for example, you may be directing some film or some television show or something, and someone on your crew may have a good idea. Well, an egotistical person would say, well, I'm not going to use that because I didn't think of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas a good director will take those good ideas and use them. And that's something that George does. You know, he gets all these people to design ships and creatures and all that, and he lets them come up with things, and then he kind of, you know, picks and chooses and nudges them in certain directions. Sometimes he gives them an initial idea, sometimes he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then same sort of thing happened with Episode 3 even. With Episode 3, apparently after maybe the initial shooting phase had been completed and they were editing it together, several people, I think Ben Burtt was one of them, I want to say that Rob Coleman was one of them, that basically went to George and said, we're not fully understanding why Anakin chooses to go to the dark side here.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like we need a little bit more explanation. And instead of George going, well, you guys are wrong, just get over it, I'm George Stinking Lucas, yeah. I wear flannel, get out my face.
Yeah.
He took those ideas to heart, or those comments and observations to heart, and in the reshoots, they added a little bit more so that it became more clear to the audience. And so I've kind of learned that lesson, and I thought when I was in Alabama, I kind of remember thinking about that. And so I think there is I think ego stops us from following, but it is, like they say, a wise leader who knows when to say, I don't know everything. Just because I'm the leader doesn't mean I've got all the answers. So,
yeah.
And I guess in this episode, who is the wise leader who knows when to follow? Is it Obi-Wan? Because Obi-Wan's got the plan, Anakin, you go down there, you take this cloak ship, and you deliver supplies. And Anakin doesn't want to do that. And Obi-Wan keeps saying, oh, but you've got to. And Anakin says, well, I don't care what your plan is. Your plan's not going to work. And then he cuts him off. You know, and then Anakin does his own thing and it works out. So, I don't know if they're trying to say that Obi-Wan was wise by listening to Anakin or not.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a fortune cookie.
And but you know, that's why, that's partially why Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
That's why he was such a good leader.
Because he would listen.
He did. Yeah. He would listen to his other crew members. And just because Picard came up with an idea, he didn't, you know,
say, well, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
My way or the highway.
My way or airlock.
It's like, airlock? Oh, airlock. Archer did that once.
Threw somebody out the airlock?
Didn't throw him out the airlock, but he was trying to get some information from a hostile alien. And they goes, I'm not going to talk. And so he threw him in the airlock and, like, you know, shut the door and started to decompress it. And they're like, Archer, stop it.
You know who else did that?
Who?
Captain Malcolm Reynolds.
On the Firefly.
Mm-hmm. With one of the main characters did that with him, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Need to watch that show.
I do. All right, so the newsreel basically tells us that Christophsis is...
You know who else does stuff like that?
Who?
One Mr. Optimus Prime.
You have a good point. You make a good point. Remember that?
Yes.
We talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
So remember that last week? It's still true.
I don't really know if Optimus Prime did that or not, but I bet he would.
I mean, he did. He did that thing that we were talking about. He's like, I don't want to do that. And then someone says, well, yeah, we should do it. And he's like, you've made your point.
Yeah, but that was just bad writing.
True. True. But he delivered it with such conviction.
He did.
Peter Cullen. Oh.
Why don't you tell everybody about your James Arnold Taylor story now?
I should tell everybody my James Arnold Taylor story. So we'll get to the rest of the Captain Moses in a minute. So a few weeks ago, well, about a month or so, maybe more ago, I befriended or became a fan of James Arnold Taylor, who does the voice of Obi-Wan as well as others on the show. Became a fan of his on Facebook and, you know, check his site from time to time. See what he's up to. And he had linked a YouTube file, and it was a short film that he and some other people did sometime back.
Was it that thing that like kind of trailer thing for a movie?
No, this was one where
I watched that.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, but that's this is a different thing. It's a short story about a guy not played by him, a guy who is going in to read for a part for like a commercial. And he's all dressed up, you know, for the part. He thinks it's something sort of Founding Fathers-esque, so he's kind of dressed up like Revolutionary War kind of stuff. And then he gets there and finds out that it's a voiceover audition. And he kind of feels silly, but he's going to stay there because, we find out that he's kind of needs the money, you know, and he's kind of down on his luck actor. And there's all these voice actors in there, and James Arnold Taylor is in it sort of playing one. And James Arnold Taylor does all of his voices. You know, I don't know if we've talked before about all the different voices he does. I mean, he's the official voice of Fred Flintstone right now. He does Christopher Walken. He does Marty McFly, you know, Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. Mm-hmm. He does just all kinds of people.
Did you watch that one video that's on there of like his like kind of – almost stand up thing,
yeah,
where he does like he's like dubs over the yes scene. That was ridiculous.
I know he is very most impressive.
Yeah.
But so I won't give away the plot of the film, the little short film there, but suffice to say it's really cool, and I do recommend people watching it. One, because James Arnold Taylor's great in it, but two, it's got a really good message to it. And that's basically what I told him. I posted a little comment because he had a link there and you can make comments on the link. And so I commented and I said, you know, it was a really good short film. You know, everybody was good in it. You were funny in it. And it had a really good message. It was a feel-good movie. You know, had a good heart to it. And he responded in the comments to me.
He did. I saw it.
He's like, you know, thanks, David. And I forgot what else he said, because my name is Nick, but my first name is David. And when I signed up for Facebook, I just did my whole name because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. And so I am David, you know, Nicholas Weymouth. But so I saved a screenshot and I'll post it up on the site.
You would save a screenshot to that.
I would. Yeah, you would. That's right. So, but so that's my story. So via the internet, James Arnold Taylor, in my opinion, one of the greatest voice actors of our time, has said something.
Well, see, now that you're friends with him,
yeah, now that we're tight and buds, yeah,
yeah, now that y'all are buddies, you should tell him to do our Mountain Dew spot.
Should, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like I know, like, especially if you said can't put it up on the, you know, anything public because it, you know, might get in trouble. But like, okay, no problem. And I wouldn't, but I would put that on every mix CD that I ever, whenever I go on a trip, and it's like, all right, time for mix CDs, like, and start the trip off, there it is.
Yeah.
That'd be so awesome.
I'd have to be like, I'm sorry, James Arnold Taylor, but that's going on the beginning of every clone cast.
Don't do that. He won't do it now. Nah. I won't let him, James. I won't let him do that.
Yeah, well, I'm not in charge of the editing anyway, so.
That's right. If you've got legs, you can't edit this show. Don't know. But, so there you go. So that's my James Arnold Taylor story.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, he's appeared on some of the other podcasts, not just the Force.net podcast, so. Maybe one day he could appear on our show.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd ask him all about his work as Tidus from Final Fantasy X.
Josh is a big fan of the Final Fantasy X, and James played the main character.
Be like, how did you feel about playing the Goob?
Well, you also have to ask him about playing Leonardo, your favorite of all Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, how was that, buddy?
Yeah, yeah.
I like Tidus.
I haven't played the game, so I can't comment intelligently.
Well, a lot of people don't like Tidus,
yeah.
And I don't understand why, except for that he's a really outgoing, you know,
kind of
upbeat character.
Oh, you can't have people who are happy and upbeat.
Not in a Final Fantasy
game. No. It's got to be dark and dingy and lots of off-trumpet
keys.
Yes, a lot of off-key clarinets. I've done that before, I know, but I
yeah, you
to
did.
Do it again.
You've done it before, and it was the same off key. Like,
thank you. Consistency. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's how you get great.
That's how you get girls.
That's how you get girls. Consistency. Those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. No, that wasn't it. It was what was it? The thing about the past and the future. If you ignore the past, you jeopardize the future.
Remember? Oh, you put your own jeopardy in future?
Yeah, but you're on jeopardy in the future. Doom, 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 doom. Okay, anyway.
And this is how that goes.
That's a joke because we were just now recording an episode of The Inner Darkdom where, like, probably once every 3 minutes, we said, and here's how that piece of music goes. And so that's what that was. So, shall we talk about the highlights of the episode?
Sir. All right. Yes, sir.
So, the newsreel basically just sets up
in the future. What are
whoa,
eyes?
Whoa. That was your little commentary on
yeah,
it, wasn't
no,
it?
Yeah, but there was some cool stuff.
That's
but
right.
Go ahead.
Okay. The newsreel, an impenetrable defense.
An appendage?
An appendage.
An appendage on the fence.
Ew. Get that off of there. An impenetrable defense. Separatist ships blockade the resource-rich planet of Christophsis, trapping Senator Bail Organa in his relief effort. Desperate to aid the esteemed senator, a Republic task force under the command of Anakin Skywalker must break the impasse, but time runs short for the senator and the good citizens of Christophsis.
We didn't have any mail today.
Yes, we did not have any mail today. That is true.
That was a random place to put it, but
like
there
it
was.
It was good. It was, yes. Everyone was on the edge of their seats. Where's the mail at? Whew, I'm glad Josh told me.
He got to send us mail.
Yes.
We had that one show where we had that one, we finally had a mail
segment.
We had
30 minutes of mail time.
We can't do it anymore.
Can't do it anymore. We will write mail to ourselves. We will write our own letters.
Yes, we will.
No, we won't.
Why not?
We will.
They won't know. They'll be there. Man, them guys is popular.
That's right.
People mail into their show.
All the time.
All the time. My name is named Bill and
Francis.
And Rashid. Hello, this is Rashid.
No, we can't put that in there.
I am writing to you from a BP station in which I am currently occupying the back desk. This is Rashid signing out. Now I will talk on my phone all day long. Even when I have a customer, I will be talking on the phone.
In Russian.
In Russian. Because I have switched to Russian. My name is Rashid Garbolsky. I come from a long line of Garbolskys. In my family, the Garbolskys eat well. We do very well. We are very fat. Today we will be talking to Gerald Garbolsky. Why his name is Gerald and no one knows. But my name is Hashid. Perhaps tomorrow I'll have spaghetti. Perhaps not. Tomorrow I will be picking up 3 magazines with a Bridget Nielsen on the cover. Because she was in Rocky IV, which Rashid produced. Uncredited.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, boy. Where were we?
I was about to start the summary of the episode.
Okay.
So write us email, please. So, the episode begins. We're on Christophsis again, or we're in orbit around Christophsis. You've got a separatist fleet.
And all of a sudden, out of a nebula comes Rashid Garbolsky. Okay. I'll leave you alone.
Do your born podcast. All right. All right, so the episode begins, and we're back on Christophsis, and the Separatist fleet is there in orbit. You've got Anakin and his crew, and they are taking some fire as they're trying to get in touch with Bail Organa. And so we see Bail Organa again on the surface, and it turns out that he is involved in a supply effort to try to help the locals, the natives, but he, because of the blockade, is unable to get supplies, and they don't know how long they'll be able to last because, one, they don't have supplies to do their job, and two, they've got a bunch of battle droids bearing down at them, and then suddenly the transmission gets lost. I did think that Bail Organa, well, the guy who played Bail Organa, did a better job with the voice this time than last time.
Yeah, he did.
You know, last time, he was a little too much like this man.
Mm-hmm.
I think he also does the voice of Kit Fisto. And the Bail Organa voice in Senate Murders was a little too Kit Fisto-ish, I thought. Maybe just a smidgen. And early on in the episode, we're also introduced to this Admiral Trench, who is the captain and the leader of the task force. He's on the Separatist flagship there. What did you think of old Trench, the Spider-Man?
Spider-Bear.
The Spider-Bear? He did kind of have a bit of a bear vibe.
He did.
Spider-Bear, Spider-Bear, takes your honey and goes up in a web. Honey, bears, honey.
I get it. I just don't like your jokes.
It's an off day. But so, what did you think of old Spider-Bear?
Hey, he's okay.
I liked him.
Yeah.
We got to tell y'all a story, though, because...
We got to tell y'all a story as far as three Spider-Bears.
And a girl. No, when we were watching Senate Murders, and Senate Murders went off, and the preview for this episode came on.
Oh, you're going to tell them this?
Yes.
Oh, you're basically just, we'll show y'all how ignorant we are.
Well, we didn't know. Like, there, you see Admiral Trench, and he's saying something like, you know, we shall stop them on Christophsis, oh, fire, or something like that.
Yeah.
And Josh said, Nick, I was like, Josh, what is it? And he said, was that Michael Dorn? I was like, huh? Who was it? And I backed it up, and I listened to it again. And so I wrote in my notes, is that Worf? And then we looked it up, and it wasn't.
No.
It was D. Breaker Bradley.
Yep.
D. Breaker Bradley. We have nicknames for people. And we don't even know him. He may not like that nickname.
I hope he does.
Hope he does. It's in love, D.
Yeah, it's in love, D. Much love, dog.
It's like we love Mon Mothra.
Yeah.
But so it turns out Admiral Trench was not Michael Dorn.
No.
But if they want to get any of the actors from Star Trek The Next Generation to do voices in the show, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be the ultimate just crossover.
Way better than when Sulu was on last season.
Oh, yeah. Because who cares about Sulu?
Shields, Captain. The Separatist Alliance will form Voltron.
I'll form the head. Oh, go Lion.
We shall form Voltron. Oh, that was stupid. I'm going to cut that. You know, like the nuclear vessels in Alameda. Voltron. 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 But I liked Admiral Trench.
Voltron.
I liked old Admiral Trench. He was apparently his original name early in the development of the script was Admiral Charinch, as in tarantula.
Charinch.
As in tarantula.
Is there somebody who just gets a trench?
Yeah.
Charinch.
Charinch. Charinch.
Charinch is on fire.
You are louder than me still.
No, I'm not.
Look at that.
That's because I get close to the mic when I laugh. Leave it alone.
Don't you dare touch it. But so, what did you think of old Trench? The Spider-Bear.
Spider-Bear. He's okay. I mean, he didn't have very long in the sun.
Yeah.
So, didn't really have a long time to get to know him.
To explore him as a character.
But he's interesting, though.
Yeah.
You know, from what little bit we got to see.
Yeah. And I like the way that old D. Bradley Baker, he ends up...
D. Breaker Bradley, dog.
Like, are they like playing tennis and he's gonna break her?
Break her badly.
What was that laugh?
Princess face.
Princess face.
Which also sounds like the penguin from the Adam West Batman.
Yes. And I also said, remember that one episode where I kept doing the sounds of the different villains from Batman? Yeah, that was great. Who else did the sound like? It sounds a little like Betty.
It does.
Call me Betty.
What an underrated movie.
I love Kung Pao.
That is a...
Y'all should watch that. If you've never seen Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Yeah.
Steve Odekirk, like, it's very good.
The thing about that movie, though, is the stuff with, what's his name? Steve Odekirk?
Yeah.
The stuff with him in it is, you know, kind of amusing, but the hilarious stuff is like where he overdubbed everybody's voice.
Yeah. Wee-oo-wee-oo-wee-oo-wee-oo.
Oh, my goodness. Hilarious.
Swinging the chain.
Now a joke.
I love the joke. And then it's like, I am a great magician. Your clothes are red.
Black clothes.
Towel.
Which is also kind of my Skeletor impression.
It is.
Yeah, man. Red clothes.
It's like James Earl Taylor. Remember in that special, in the thing you were referencing earlier, he says that it's like so many voices are connected. It's like, you know, he'll do one voice and say, if you pitch it just a little lower, it turns into this other voice. Yeah. If you speed it up a bit, it turns into this other voice, which I found that as a fan of voice acting and voices and stuff, I found that very interesting. And you just showed him to be true.
Yep.
By talking about how all these voices are connected. Now, how we got off on that, I don't exactly remember. And there was something in the middle of that I thought, ooh, I need to say. And now I can't remember what it was.
Was it about He-Man?
I don't know. It was before He-Man. It was before He-Man. Nothing was before He-Man. Nothing can kill the Grimace.
In the beginning, there was He-Man, and that was it.
Dum da dum 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 da dum dum. The GoBots, the GoBots.
Why?
Why? It was like we were talking about Trench, and it was like the voice, and but it was after that, and it was right around the time of like it was like and the Phantom of Crankor. Oh, I know what it was. All of that for Joe. I'm in one of these boxes. Try and find me. Oh, that's for you MST3K fans.
Yeah, we got to do
meet the guys from MST3K.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would.
We gotta do something like on the Interdortum or something.
Uh-huh.
We need to do a commentary
for on the MST3K movie.
No,
could you imagine that? Joe, I mean, one of these boxes driving by me. That was funny.
What Mike just said right there was stupid.
Science, industry, and technology. He's right. What should we do?
We should do a commentary.
Uh-huh.
On the Masters of the Universe movie, the we live should. Action movie with you know, Courtney Cox
and, you know what,
and Dolph Lundgren.
And you know what I'll talk about the entire time? Where's Orko?
Yeah, for real.
Where is Orko?
Because it, from my understanding, that movie was supposed to take place like, you know, in the regular He-Man universe. Yeah. They just got transported out.
Yeah, and became looking like Dolph Lundgren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so where is Orko?
Yeah. Man-at-Arms was there.
Mm-hmm.
That one chick was there.
Tila?
Yeah.
She was not there. Tila Tequila, mind you.
No.
No.
The alien-looking girl? Yeah. Because that's what she looks like. Yeah. She looks like a straight-up alien.
She does. Or like a gizmo, like a mogwai.
Yeah.
Don't feed her after midnight.
Mm-mm. No. Spurn the gremlins, she
yes.
will.
Yes.
Poor Tila have no money.
So, but anyway, where are we at? So... I like the way that D. Broker Bradley. No, I like the way that D. Baker Bradley kind of gave Trench a certain kind of off rhythm mm-hmm. to his talking. You know, the people and go to the thing over there. You know, I'm doing a little bit more shoddily than he did it because he did it well. But I like that it kind of gave.
I'm doing it more shoddily than he did it.
He did it shoddy, but
I just did it more shoddy. That
is not what I meant. So I liked it. I liked his design. You know, you said he kind of looked slightly like a bear, you know, and I can see that. And then Liz said that she thought he looked like some animal, and I forgot what it was that she said. But I liked him. You could tell maybe, you know, people are afraid of spiders. I'm not a big fan of spiders.
I don't like them. I like roaches less.
Yeah. So if they had a roach as a commander, then, that'd be like,
ooh, Commander Roach.
Commander Roach.
I don't like your roach impression.
The clicking noises you walk around.
Yeah, have you ever heard a roach before?
Yeah, they're creepy.
Isn't it? Like, I mean, I've like told my parents before that I've said, like,
I heard that roach.
Yeah, I heard it going up the
you
up
can.
The wall.
You can. Totally.
And they're like, you can't hear roaches. And it's like, yes, you can. You take them big.
Obama, yes, you can. Yes, we can hear roaches.
Those like huge roaches, not like the like killer roaches, like them Egyptian
attack
roaches
of the killer
whatever.
Roaches. But yeah.
But you know, like the roaches we get around here, the big ones, they're like, you know, maybe as long as your pinky.
Yeah.
Or my pinky. They wouldn't be as long as your pinky, good gracious.
They're gonna be like, what does his pinky look like?
But, But yeah, those roaches, you can hear them scurrying up the wall, and it's so freaky. And like sometimes you can hear them crawling just before they jump on you, because roaches down here for some reason will attack you.
Kamikaze roaches.
Yeah. You know, like not too long ago, I was coming back from your house, and it was, everybody was already in bed, and I was going through the kitchen, and all of a sudden I hear, and it like flew onto my forehead, and I was like,
no, sir. And then I go shower for like an hour.
Yeah.
Shower for an hour.
And they're, now everybody's probably thinking, man, them country boys, they living in wood shacks with the roaches everywhere.
And the ticks and the...
Yeah, and the, what something else that we supposedly got? Well, probably somebody was like, well, why didn't you just pull out your gun, country boy, and shoot it?
See, my gun was jammed.
It was, which I got fixed.
Well, good. I'm glad. It's all coming together.
Yeah, now everybody's like, definitely, yeah, why don't you just get your gun and shoot it, country bumpkin?
And then we'll say, because it was jammed. We just said that.
What did I just say?
You know, robot chicken?
Yep.
You know,
Optimus Prime.
But so...
We can't get prostate cancer, but you can.
Get me checked out with regular turkeys.
Okay. Where are we?
We're talking about how, because he was a spider...
Yeah, he was scary.
He was
like
scary.
Like a roach.
Yeah, and so even if he was only in a 22-minute episode and died at the end, you know, and you didn't get a chance to get enough backstory, the fact that he's a spider and the fact that Lauren is so kind of concerned about him kind of works out. Because there's a part in the episode where Lauren, I referenced it earlier, he thinks he notices something about the tactics of whoever it was that was attacking them. And so he looks it up, and turns out that it's Trench, and he's talking to Anakin, and he's like, look, you know, I lost a lot of good men fighting against him. And so those two things are enough to make him creepy, even though we don't see him a long time. So anyway, Trench is doing a good job against Anakin's force, his task force, and his plan, Anakin's plan is, you know what, we're just going to hit the gas, and we'll overburn the engines, as it were, or, excuse me, as they say, what does he say, overfire the engines, and just blast on through. But then one of the clones in the pit says, wait a minute, we've got someone coming in. We got another cruiser behind us. And I like this. Did you pick up on this? That before anybody said anything, it's like Anakin turned around and said, Obi-Wan. Like he could sense that it was Obi-Wan on that ship that jumped in.
No, I didn't pay attention.
And maybe that's not what it was. Maybe it was just the only person it would be is Obi-Wan. I don't know. But Obi-Wan shows up, tells Anakin to turn around. And this is where we start
turn
to see.
Turn around.
Anakin, if you go over there, you're going to be blown up by that big spider man.
Turn around.
Come on back here, because I've got a ship that no one can see, and you can go and help Bail Organa.
Turn around.
No, there he goes. Turn around.
Oh, yeah. Turn around.
I'm the Jedi Master, and you're still my apprentice. No, you're not, but I will give you the words.
Turn around.
Notice the high again.
Turn around.
The words of that, my order, because I'm all the boss, and then I say stuff, and then we're going
to... Turn around. Let's not do that again.
No. But, so... Yes, so Anakin is told to turn around. Anakin doesn't want to do it, but he's told that Obi-Wan has a new toy that will perhaps give them advantage. So they reluctantly turn around and regroup. And what do you think of that so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but so then Anakin goes back and he's like, all right, where's this super weapon? And Obi-Wan says, you're looking at it. I'm looking at what? If you were any closer, you'd be kissing it. And then they push the button and... lots of blue light and stuff, and then boom. And then what did you say, Josh?
Oh, well, the Romulans are going to be mad.
Yes.
That's one.
One. It's probably more than one, because we talked about Sulu and Worf.
That's true, we did.
We didn't count that.
We didn't count that.
That'd have been one, and then number one is number two.
Yeah.
And this would have been three.
Yeah. Okay,
so we're good now.
But it does. It really did. I thought the Romulans would be mad.
Yep.
I'm not just saying that for the sake of a reference. Because... cloaking technology is something that's predominantly Star Trek, and they will be mad.
Yes, but they have to remember that in episode 5, they talked about cloaking devices.
Did they?
Hmm? Remember when the Millennium Falcon... Have you even seen Star Wars?
No, whoa!
When the Millennium Falcon escapes from the Star Destroyers and they end up clamping on to the back of one... But before that happens, they zoom by, and then they're like, you know, tracking me, may I come around for another pass? And he's like, General Nita, the ship no longer appears on our scopes. And then he says, impossible, no ship that small has a cloaking device.
But it was a Star Trek thing first.
That's true.
Yeah. So I want to hear about your Empire Strikes Back.
Why don't you go start the Trek cast?
I know, shouldn't I?
So, what did you think of the design of the ship?
I think the ship is pretty cool, because the ship reminds me of those things in the asteroid belt in Star Fox.
Dual barrel!
Yeah. The little kind of worm dragon-looking things. Yeah. Because, you know, you got that one shot at the towards the end of the episode where, you know, they're about to hit the ship.
Right.
And then, it hits it, but it kind of slithers
right
up.
Right past it, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the ship. I thought it was cool. The whole idea of cloaking devices, you know, were mentioned in episode 5, but we'd never really seen one. So to actually see the way that it would be visualized on the show or in the world of Star Wars was kind of cool. And I like the design of the ship. It kind of has that submarine look, which goes in for the whole Hunt for Red October, you know, Crimson Tide, Roll Tide kind of thing. So I like that design. And this scene is one of those scenes that, for me at least, reinforced, wow, Obi-Wan and Anakin really have grown in terms of their relationship. Because this episode, set before anything else, or you know, almost anything else, they're still doing a lot of bickering. You know, Obi-Wan's clearly the boss, because Anakin's like, this is great, we can take it, and we can knock out these Giuseppes, you know, without them even noticing it, and Obi-Wan says...
What would anybody want to knock out Giuseppe for?
Giuseppe, such a nice man. They make it a pizza pie. You know, and Obi-Wan says, no, I need you to continue the relief mission. And of course, Anakin, being Anakin, he's like, no, I want to blow stuff up. And yeah. Obi-Wan says, saving lives is more important than destroying ships. You know, and that's people talking about Satine, talking about the Jedi being warmongers and that kind of thing. But here's Obi-Wan saying, look, I'd rather save lives than destroy ships. And here's Anakin saying, I'd rather destroy ships because in the long term, that'll save more lives. So even the two Jedi are having this kind of disagreement. And Obi-Wan says, you know, follow orders. I mean, he even used that phrase, follow orders. So clearly, Obi-Wan is still the boss at this point, and they're still kind of rubbing a little bit. So then we cut to Yularen, who's studying on a computer and notices an insignia that was on the flagship of the Separatist fleet. Does a little bit of investigation, a little analyzation, and finds out that that is the same insignia that was the, you know, sort of mark of old Admiral Trench. And there's a picture of him right there on the view screen.
Yep. And it's a character design.
Yeah. I think that was kind of neat. Yeah. It was like the drawing that they had made when they were first designing the character.
Yep.
And so that was pretty cool. And suddenly Yularen freaks out. And he's like, you know, talks to one of the clones and says, you know, tell Anakin, tell Commander Skywalker not to leave yet. And so, I think they cut to commercial. And I like this whole thing with Yularen in this episode, because it kind of gives him more of a background to him, you know? Like, he used to just be kind of the basic, you know, Imperial, or Republic, that will eventually be Imperial, you know, Admiral, who's this crazy Jedi. And now here he is, we find out that he's dealt with defeat, and... You know, he has someone that he knows that's out there that is dangerous, and it just kind of gave him a little bit of a moment to shine and not to always just be barking the orders. You know, this time he was like, you know,
reading the newsreel.
Exactly. You know, you'd be like, no, that can't be. And
I wonder if that's what they have in mind.
Like that it's supposed to be Yularen?
Yeah, he's like, he goes into the bathroom and he's reading. He's sitting on the commode and he's reading the newspaper. Senate leaders are blah, 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 blah. And there's people outside, and they're like, oh, he does this every night.
At least usually about once a week on average. At least in the fall and the spring. Not so much in the summer.
Why he feels like he's got to read it out loud to himself in the bathroom, I have no idea.
Sometimes he plays music, too.
This separatists are using the convene with the Republic and the army and the war to get things and to get them and make a trouble. And there's some thing over there and there's some people and they don't know what they're doing. Do you have a job? Do you have to have a job?
Very strange man. But but yeah, it gives you Lauren a little bit more, you know.
That's what that explosion was that you were talking about in the Duchess of Mandalore episode. You were like, you know, there was the, that's what it was.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So let's see. So anyway, yeah, I like the fact that it gave him kind of more background, and you know, tell General Skywalker not to leave yet, and he goes and explains to Anakin what's going on and says, I want to go with you, being consulted. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And then you got the sequence of the ship leaving the Star Destroyer there.
Mm.
And the new rookie clone is coming in to help out, you know, on the crew there. And I like the design of all the like displays. It really has that sub feel to it inside. You know?
I like their uniform designs.
Oh yeah, like the helmets and stuff.
Why do they have that?
I don't know. You know, there's an episode you haven't seen that some people have that helmet design, but I don't know the deal behind it.
One of the Geonosis episodes.
One of the Geonosis episodes. So I don't really know what the if there's a particular, you know, purpose there that I'm not catching on I'm not sure if there's some kind of something that's there that I'm just not picking up on. But so I like all that. So then they leave and we get the shot of the ship kind of going past the moon there as Anakin cloaks it. And what did you notice in that scene?
You can hear, and I they had to have done this on purpose or something, because I know I didn't just imagine the sound, but the sound of the Predator.
Yeah, from the Predator movie.
Yeah, it makes that sound when it cloaks.
Yeah, and I'd seen the episode already, and I was watching with Josh, and Josh was like, that just made the Predator sound. I was like, huh? And I backed the DVR up and played it again, and sure enough, you can hear that.
Yeah, a little clicky thing.
I can't really, but yeah, and it's like, maybe the Predator was the cameraman.
It could have been.
You're sitting there.
I bet they didn't see him.
He's got his cloaking thing.
Yeah, too. He's got his cloaking device on. He's out in space and he's just floating around.
That's right. I don't know why they put that sound in there, but that. And what's funny is later on in the episode when it cloaks and decloaks, you don't hear that sound. It was like only, that I recall, it was only in that one scene, that one shot. But anyway, so a lot of the rest of the episode is, again, as we described earlier, pretty cut and dry in terms of its plot. Anakin starts heading down to the planet. He sees an opportunity to engage
the Borg.
Tell the fleet we have engaged the Borg.
We just quit counting.
What was like, that?
I don't know. We just have so many, it's not even worth counting anymore.
But before that, before they start to attack, you know, there's the, I like the part where the Trench sends some hyena bombers, as he calls them, basically the droid bombers that are the precursors to the TIE bombers, down to the planet. And there's,
oh, which by the way, I liked the pilot dude, the pilot clone, his helmet, which was basically a TIE pilot's helmet without two tubes.
Yeah, it was
going
like only
the
one
front.
Tube. Yeah.
Yeah. That was neat.
Yeah, that was a really cool design. And so the TIE pilot guy, you know, is scared, and the rest of them are scared about the TIE bomber prototypes that are, you know, going to come by. And so there's that moment, you know, as they're closing in, and the sonar, as it were, is, you know, detecting them. And they even had like the boom kind of sonar noise, which I'm like, oh, they're going for kind of a first time I watched them, like, oh, they're going for like a submarine thing here. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, is it going to happen? And then, and they fly over them and everything's fine and everything. So like, okay, this is awesome. And, so then Bail Organa needs help some more. Oh, and I like this part too. When Organa contacts Obi-Wan on the ship and he's like, you know, we're blah, blah, blah. And he says, help us, General Kenobi. You're our only hope.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of a cool little thing. Not only from the overt nod to the line of dialogue, but also because what does Leia say to General Kenobi in Episode 4 via the hologram. You know,
you fought with or you fought, served my father in the Clone Wars. Yeah, many
years ago in the Clone Wars. And there it is. There's one example of him directly serving Bail Organa. So, so I thought that was pretty cool. Nice little nod there. And then Yularen decides, look, I know Trench, this is a trap, and so Anakin decides to go on the offensive.
It's a trench trap.
It is a trench trap.
It's a trench trap!
Where is old Admiral Ackbar?
Your taste buds can't deploy flavor of that magnitude.
Robot chicken. So Anakin decloaks a few missiles, recloaks, but the missiles aren't affected because Trench raises the shields, which we haven't really seen shields visualized before.
No.
Like, you know, ray shielding. I mean, we've seen ray shield, activate ray shields. You know, we've seen that.
Because and, you know, when the thing hits it,
yeah,
it's very, very, very Star Trek-ish.
It is. Like, it hits an invisible layer a little bit beyond the ship, and it kind of illuminates it, and it really illuminates it on the bridge there with Trench, and we've never seen that before. In Episode 4, you know, switch your deflector screens to double front, you know, we know that deflector screens exist, but we've never seen them. So that was kind of a nice little, you know, nerd moment there. And then
there was the big deflector shield on the Death Star.
Yeah, that's
it. And we never saw that.
Never saw that either. Yeah, exactly. So now we finally get to see it.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of like what you would expect it to. So Trench fires missiles back, and they're able to track them. Fortunately, Anakin is able to, or they're able to recloak the ship and fire the flares just in time. And so then it's like, who's...
They fire flares just in time to say goodbye!
Yeah.
Yeah. Another Metallica reference for you.
Almost like Clone Wars. Almost like Anakin might obey. No, he won't. No, sir. He's a rebel, don't you know? His hair is not real long, but it will be for too long. Obi-Wan is right. That boy will vanish in the night. Didn't make any sense. but so then there's a question of us, who's going to do the next move? Well, Trench is able to figure out that no clone will be able to pilot that well, so it must be a Jedi that's piloting the ship. So he gets on the open channel, you know, like all frequencies, and basically calls
Mr.
out.
Mr. Wolf, open the channel.
And so gets on there and says, you know, you have an impressive pistol, Jedi, but if you think that you can defeat me, then you're wrong, because I know how to defend against these cloak ships, and so I've dealt with them before. You're in trouble, and I am your doom. And then he closes the channel, and it's like, what's going to happen, and can he really do this? Can he really defend them? So then there is the moment there where Obi-Wan does some research and finds out that yes, Anakin is dealing with a man who really has, or a spider who really has dealt with cloak ships before, but they were usually larger ships. And this is where Anakin says, well, yeah, usually a ship this small wouldn't have a cloaking device. Of course, obviously a reference to Episode 5 with, you know, no ship that small has a cloaking device. So I guess no ship that small has a cloaking device, because maybe this ship will end up not working as well as they thought it would, or something. I don't know. But so Anakin figures that it must be that he's tracing the magnetic signature. And sure enough, Trench fires some missiles, and Anakin is able to use Trench's knowledge to his own advantage by basically leading the missiles right back to the ship. Because Trench has let down the shields in order to fire the missiles, he can't get the shields back up in time. Anakin, you know, skirts the cloak ship right against the hull, and so those missiles come right in, and you get this nice bit of animation there where, you know, Trench, it's like he realizes, like his eyes, all nine or whatever of them, open up wide, like he realizes, I've been beaten, and he's kind of almost got a sad look, and then, boom, the missile hits, explosions, and death. Everybody's happy, and then the episode kind of wraps up with Bail Organa being happily able to be helped out. Oh, and then the end part where we do find out that Yularen never has really dealt with Anakin much before. That this is apparently one of their first assignments together, which obviously then would go into the next episodes.
Yep.
So anything else that you thought was good or bad that we haven't really covered? We talked about Anakin and Obi-Wan's relationship. I didn't mention, but there are a couple of times where Anakin basically cuts Obi-Wan off. Like Obi-Wan, that first moment there when Yularen says, look, this is a trap. I think we need to, when the TIE bombers go by or the droid bombers go by, and he's like, this is a trap. We need to, we need to attack. And Anakin wants to attack. And Obi-Wan says, no, you need to go down there and help. And they're both saying, look, your plan won't work, Obi-Wan. And Anakin just kind of cuts him off. And then later, when they have the conversation about the cloak ships and how Trench may be able to know how to defeat them, again, he cuts him off. So we get that. We get the introduction to Yularen, the fact that he's got some heart. We get a kind of a cool bad guy who ends up dying. And I don't know if we talked about this yet or not, but something, I think, to be said about the show, you never know which cool characters they'll kill off and which cool characters they'll keep alive.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of shows, well, this person can't live or this person can't die. And even in this show, we know, they're not going to kill off Obi-Wan.
Right.
Unless they want to clone him, like Timothy Zahn wanted to. they're not going to kill off Anakin. They're not going to kill off Yularen. So we know there are some people that can't be killed. But there are a lot of these new characters that we don't know whether they'll live or die or not. And turns out that Trench was killed. And I was like, man, that's a bummer. But that's good because then you never know who's going to live and
what you're going to get.
Who's going to die. That's true. Star Wars, Clone Wars is like a box of chocolates.
True.
Yes. So anyway, sometimes they make a cool bad guy and kill him. And sometimes they make a cool bad guy and let him live.
Yeah.
And that's nice because then you never know. Okay, it's not, this character's so cool, they're not going to kill him off or her off, because sometimes they do, but then sometimes they don't. So it keeps us as an audience guessing as to who will live and who will die. So there you go. Anything else on that?
No, sir.
All righty. Well, thank you for listening to our very random and somewhat shorter than usual episode of the Clone Cast.
Yeah.
As we dealt with the episode Cut.
And the Moose.
Yes. We encourage you to listen soon, as we will be putting up our next episode on the episode Bounty Hunters.
Bounty Hunter.
We'll have a lot to say about that. That will hopefully be back up to our...
We're going to say that and we'll probably be just
Yeah, but hopefully it'll be back up to maybe some of the standards of some of what we hope y'all are considering to be good episodes. But thanks for staying with us for this one. And until next time, I am Nick Weymouth.
And I'm Josh Shaw.
You can contact us at
TheCloneCast@gmail.com.
And you can check out our blog site on
TheCloneCast.blogspot.com,
where you can see the screen capture of when James Arnold Taylor responded to my comment on his Facebook page.
Right.
And all other things non-audio related that we might want to put up. But so until then, we will see you
in the future.
The Clone Cast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Warner Brothers and is intended for entertainment purposes only. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective copyright and trademark holders. Please, don't sue us.
Perhaps tomorrow I'll have spaghetti. Perhaps not.